रे जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस फणिवीर श्री श्रीमद विष्णवाय जय श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय चंद्र गौर भक्त वृंद
Chapter 20, text 398. So this is nearly the end of this chapter, just a few verses. On Lord, the Lord instructs Sanatana Goswami. Krishna is complete in the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. He is more complete in Mathura and Dwaraka, and he is most complete in Vrindavan, Braja, due to his manifesting all his influences. Purport, this is confirmed in the following three verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 221 through 223. Translation is stated in the dramatic literature as perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Thus, Lord Krishna manifests himself in three ways: perfect, perfect, and most perfect. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not manifest all his transcendental qualities, he is called complete. When all the qualities are manifest not fully, he is called more complete. When he manifests all his qualities in fullness, he is called complete. This is the version of all learned scholars in devotional service. The most qualities of Krishna are manifest within Vrindavan and is complete, and more qualities are manifest in Dwaraka, Mathura. Lord Krishna is the most complete Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Elsewhere, all his expressions are either complete or more complete. Thus, I have briefly described Krishna's manifestation of transcendental forms. This subject matter is so large that even Lord Ananta cannot describe it fully. In this way, Krishna's transcendental form expanded unlimitedly. No one can count them. Whatever I have explained is simply a little glimpse. It is like showing the moon through the branches of a tree. Whoever hears or recites these descriptions of the expansion of Krishna's body is certainly a very fortunate man. Although this is very difficult to understand, one nonetheless acquire some knowledge about the different features of Krishna's body. Praying lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, follow their footsteps. And I'll read also the introduction, just beginning this next chapter, the opulent sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna, chapter 21. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary study of the 21st chapter. In the chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully describes Krishna Loka, the spiritual sky, the causal ocean, and the material world, which consists of innumerable universes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then describes Lord Brahma's interview with Krishna, Dwaraka, and the Lord's curbing the pride of Brahma. There is also a description of one of Krishna's pastimes with Brahma. In this chapter, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has presented some nice poems about the pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's super excellent beauty. Throughout the rest of the chapter, our intimate relationship, Sambandha, with Krishna is described. Text 1. Offering my obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me describe a particle of his opulence and sweetness. He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul bereft of spiritual knowledge, and he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. All glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. This means he's continuing to instruct Sanatana Goswami. All the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over spiritual planets in that abode. There is no counting those Vaikuntha planets. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1,000, by 10,000, by 100,000, and by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. Each Vaikuntha planet is very large, and each is made of spiritual bliss. The inhabitants are all associates of the Supreme Lord, and they have full ups like the Lord himself, thus they are all situated. Since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, measure the spiritual sky. The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to a lotus flower. The topmost region of that flower is called the whorl, and within that whorl is Krishna's abode. The petals of the spiritual lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets. Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulence, and space. Each is inhabited by incarnations. If Rama and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets, how can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them? O Supreme One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these worlds, but who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of these activities. This is a quote from the 10th canto of the Bhagavad. The spiritual qualities of Krishna are also unlimited. Great personalities like Rama, Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. In time, great scientists may be able to count all the atoms in the universe, all the stars and planets in the sky, and all the particles of snow. But who among them count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of God? He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities. All 10th canto quote from the Bhagavatam. There's nothing of Lord Brahma, even Lord Anant, who has thousands of heads, could not reach the end of the Lord's transcendental qualities, even though he is continually chanting their praises. I, Lord Brahma, and your elder brothers, the saints and sages, cannot understand the limits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of various energies, who else can understand them? Although constantly chanting of transcendental qualities, the thousand-hooded Lord Shesha has not yet reached the end of the Lord's activities. This verse is spoken in Narada Muni, is from Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, seventh chapter. To say nothing of Anandeva, even Lord Krishna himself cannot find end to his transcendental qualities. Indeed, he himself is always eager to know them. One more. My Lord, you are unlimited. Even the predominating deity of the higher planetary systems, including Lord Brahma, could not find your limitations. Nor do yourself ascertain the limit of your qualities. Like atoms in the sky, there are multi-universes with seven coverings, and these rotating in due course of time. All the experts in Vedic understanding are searching for you by eliminating the elements. In this way, searching and searching, they come to the conclusion that everything is complete in you. Thus, you are the resort of everything. This is the conclusion of all Vedic experts. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1087-41, is contained in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam jamanam ante janavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadhurlabha. After many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that such a great soul is very rare. Bhagavad Gita 17. After searching for the absolute truth throughout the universe, scholars and Vedic experts cannot reach the ultimate goal until they come to Krishna. When there is a discussion about the absolute truth, there are always various pros and cons. The purpose of such arguments is to come to the right conclusion. Such an argument is generally known as neti-neti, not this, not that. Until one comes to the right conclusion, the process of thinking, this is not the absolute truth, that is not the absolute truth, will continue. When we come to the right conclusion, we accept the Supreme Personality of Krishna as the ultimate truth. Question, comment? Yes? I've never heard any specific reference to answer that. There are new living entities first taking part in Krishna's pastimes that are also part of the entourage. The only specific reference otherwise is that they're eternal associates. In fact, there has to be, because some of the pastimes in Gokula, particularly the fighting with demons, does not take place in Goloka. But nonetheless, they are all the jiva souls, all the personalities participating. They're devotees performing roles in Krishna's pastimes. So it would seem logically to infer some other, but we try not to use that method. Anything else? Yes? Of course not. You know the answer to that. They can learn the that empiric knowledge has. Right? They can come to Brahman realization, maximum. That's if they're perfected. But they can't come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by that method. Clear? Well, they may not even have the opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Their knowledge alone doesn't entitle them to that. The mercy of Krishna entitles them. So that's when they can advance beyond the impersonal test. That's clear? So the simple answer to your question is no. And the explanation is that knowledge alone does not bring them to that stage. Not, you can say, not necessarily will it, you can say it can't. The knowledge alone cannot bring them to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then that's another matter. Then it's not by their knowledge. It's not by their empiric brain muscle. Because they exercise it a whole lot. They just pop beyond their own limitation. They can't. The maximum perfection they can reach is realizing the impersonal feature. That's the Mount Everest for them. Springboard is not their empiric knowledge. You're wrong. The mercy of the Lord combined with their some sincerity, some shraddha. In other words, somebody that, if your statement was correct, that's the springboard, or perhaps the spring, then the person is bereft of vast empiric knowledge. They have a springboard. They're a dud. They can't make it. Well, then that's the qualification. Which is the qualification? Which is the springboard? They have to be fertile or receptive, and the seed has to be given. That's the necessary combination. Not that they reached Brahman realization because they're jnani. Neither jnana or arma are prerequisites. Isn't it? Because somebody has good karma or somebody has piles of jnana. Then when that person meets a bona fide spiritual master, no. Anyavidashita shanyam jnana karma jnavatam. Only by coming in contact with a genuine representative of Krishna. Then they can get freed from those ropes binding them. Whoever is jibber jabbering in the hall, ask them to stop. No, it's nicer if they just stop and be polite. Anything else? Yes? Yes? But not everyone's going to read these books. The book that what? Uh-huh. Yeah. It depends who their spiritual master is. Depends on that person who's the author. Depends if that person is coming into sixth succession. from Krishna, teaching the conclusions properly in the cyclic succession. Right? And get the seed of bhakti. Otherwise, without the seed of bhakti, how they can come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Any more than a baby that's born in ignorance is going to figure out that they're a spirit soul. You don't figure that out. You hear it. And become purified by that hearing. So we're born in ignorance. Till we have the opportunity to hear, then we're in ignorance. So who is going to hear? From whom are you going to hear? From whom is one going to hear about the personality of Godhead? To conclusion that to even find out there is a personality of Godhead, but to speak of conclusion that the personality of Godhead is the truth. The only person from whom you can hear is the self-realized soul coming in with succession. Then it will act. Then the proper potency is there, and then the qualification that we need is not jnana or the right combination of karma.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Can you read this? It's not the big letters that we're used to. It's okay.
Yasmin virudha gatayo hi anisham patanti vijadayo vividha shaktaya anupurvyat tad bra vishvabhavam ekam anantam adyam ananta matram akaram aham prapadye yasmin virudha katayo yanisham pratanti vidyadayo vividha shaktaya anupurvyat tad brava bhavam ekam anantam adyam Ananda matram avakara maham prapye Yasmin virudha gatayo yanam pratanti Vidyadayo vividyaktaya anupurvyat Tad brahma vishva bhavamekam ananta adhyam Ananda matram abhikamaham prapadye Yasmin virudha gatayo yanisham pratanti Vidyadayo vividashakya anupurvyat Tad brahma vishva pavamekananta adhyam Ananda matram avikaram aham prapadye. Yasmin virudha gatayo yanisham patani. In
whom? Virudha gataya. Of opposite character. He certainly. Anisham, always. Patanti, are manifest. Vidya adya, knowledge and ignorance. Vividha, various shaktaya energies anubravyat continually at that brahma brahman vishva bhavam the cause material creation ekam one anantam unlimited adyam original anandamatram simplistful avikaram changeless aham I prapadye offer my obeisances. It's a very interesting verse. Listen carefully to the translation here. My dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. Your multi-jis are continually manifest, but the impersonal Brahman, which is undivided, original, changeless, unlimited, and blissful, is the cause of the material manifestation. As you are the same impersonal Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Similarly, we hear of the impersonal Brahman as it's described, middle part of the verse, undivided, unlimited, changeless. But here the verse is saying, even though normally we think that way, actually there's this division, knowledge and ignorance, undivided and yet this division. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the unlimited, impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of the transcendental body of Govinda. In that unlimited, effulgent aura of the Supreme Personality of God, there are innumerable universes with innumerable planets of different categories. Although the Supreme Person is the original cause of all causes, his impersonal effulgence, known as Brahman, is the immediate cause of the material manifestation. Dhruva Maharaj therefore offered his respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. One who realizes this impersonal feature can enjoy the unchangeable Brahmananda, described here as spiritual bliss. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this impersonal feature or Brahman manifestation, the Supreme Lord, is meant for persons who are essentially very advanced but still not able to understand the personal features or variegatedness of the spiritual world. Such devotees are known as Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, devotees whose devotional service is mixed with empiric knowledge. Because the impersonal Brahman realization is a partial understanding of absolute truth, Dhruva Maharaj offers his respectful obeisances. It is said that this impersonal Brahman is the distant realization of the absolute truth. Although apparently Brahman seems to be devoid of energy, factually it has different energies, working under the headings of knowledge and ignorance. On account of these different energies, there is continually a manifestation of vidya and avidya. Vidya and avidya are very nicely described in Ishopad. It is said there that sometimes, due to avidya, or a poor fund of knowledge, one accepts the absolute truth as ultimately impersonal. But in fact, the impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to development of devotional service. The more we develop our devotional service, the more closely we approach the absolute truth, which in the beginning, when we realize the absolute truth from a distant place, is manifest as impersonal. It's a little complex, but it's an important understanding that's being presented. Now there's another long paragraph also. People in general, who are under the influence of avidyukti, or maya, have neither knowledge nor devotion. But when a person who is a little advanced and is therefore called a jnani, in words, Akhila Dardas is answering your question. When a person who is a little advanced and is therefore called a jnani advances even more, he is in the category of jnana mishra bhakta, or a devotee whose love is mixed with empiric knowledge. When he is still further advanced, he can realize the absolute truth as a person with multi-energy. An advanced devotee can understand the Lord and his creative energy. As soon as one accepts the creative energy of the absolute truth, the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also understood. Devotees who are still further advanced in full knowledge can understand the transcendental passions of the Lord. Only on that platform can one fully enjoy transcendental bliss. An example is given in this connection by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of a person proceeding towards a destination. As he approaches, he sees the destination from a distant place, just as we see a city from a distance. At time, he simply understands that the city is situated at a distance. When, however, he comes nearer, he sees the domes and flags. But soon, as he enters the city, he sees various paths, gardens, lakes, and marketplaces with shops, persons buying. He sees varieties of cinemas, and he sees dancing and jubilation. When a person actually enters the city and personally sees the activities of the city, he becomes satisfied. A very interesting and very interesting purport. We normally even use this adjective to describe Brahman, the undifferentiated Brahman. And this is the sitting controversy between the monist and the dualist. The monist says, it is all one, there is no variety. And the devotee understands this distinction, that the absolute truth, both features, the undifferentiated Brahman and the spiritual duality of the individual soul and the qualities of individuality within that jiva soul in its pure position in relation to the absolute. So the energy is energetic. These distinctions are there. So very interesting. Dhruva Maharaj is offering this prayer, recognizing there is both vidya dayo vividha shaka anupurvyat. Normally we think, we glorify Krishna. We think of the Supreme Lord as one who is has unlimited potencies. So many, but sometimes Prabhupada describes in this way that actually the Lord's energies are unlimited, the categories are unlimited. So, for our convenience, just so we can realize, we establish these categories of internal, external, and marginal, three divisions of the Lord's energies, but actually unlimited, not just three, unlimited. Multivarious potencies. Through these various potencies, the Lord is acting, and therefore everything, in one sense, everything is Krishna. It is of Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. You can't find something that exists that is not an energy of Krishna. Or, described a little differently, there's no void in creation. There's no such thing, something that is separate from Krishna or has no Krishna there. Otherwise, there's no meaning to it. It doesn't exist. There's no void in creation, Prabhupada says. So everything, as either the absolute truth, personality, Godhead, or the energies of. And there's no difference between that statement and the statement describing impersonal feature, which is simply that purport begins to describe. It is the effulgence of Govinda. How can you separate the effulgence of Govinda from Govinda? I mean, Pujari maybe do that. The radiance, the brilliant rays emanating personality of Godhead are inseparable. As we commonly hear the analogy of the rays of the sun and the sun, you won't find just a bunch of rays hanging around somewhere without the sun. Nor will you find the sun without its rays. You won't find Indra without his effulgence, his dazzling brilliance. Nor some dazzling brilliance somewhere loitering around in the hallway. Without the sun, that dazzling effulgence. And because the Lord has different features, this undifferentiated feature is but one. So in a couple of different ways, the purport explains, or gives us the understanding, how we can say the undifferentiated is differentiated. One way is that the material manifestation, also the material manifestation is coming from Krishna. It is but the Lord's unlimited energies. But directly, or the more immediate cause, is the material manifestation is the transformation of this effulgence of the Lord. You might say this is the mechanism by which the Lord manifests this material world. Exactly how that happens is very difficult to understand. One person was just asking this question. How do the various species originally come into being? Because we use this explanation that every living being has mother and father. And that mother and father, they have their mother and father. And this way we can give the definition of God as that original thing. So the various species, basically their question was, what's the mechanism? How are the various species created? Since they, from there on, there's the mechanism of the process of reproduction, mother and father. So how is the original one? What's the area? Whatever scientist can explain that one, or even what transcendentalist can in that one. Very intricate, difficult to understand. So how the transformation of Brahma manifests materialization is a very difficult thing to understand. However, the statement is there in the Shastra. Don't sit like that holding your knees. The statement from Shastra is that this is how the material manifestation comes into play. Transformation of Brahman. So that's the most immediate cause. So there, ignorance, manifestation of ignorance from Brahman. How can the Vidya, not just this other, avidya. Actually, Lord Brahma becomes empowered. It's like a child may watch the RCA phone service man come here, hopefully this morning, to fix our phones. And they'll watch this RCA man fiddle around with a bunch of wires. Hopefully he'll do it. And all of a sudden, magic, the phone is working again. Hopefully. Or the refrigerator repairman. Watch Rupa Manjari climbing up on top of the refrigerator in the walk-in cooler, jumbling around with wires, and all of a sudden the blower is working again, the refrigeration is working. It's magic. It's not magic because they, in their own way, they have some training and some technical know-how, and they have ability to perform this work. There's some science to it. So also the support empowers Lord Brahma to create. He has that empowerment to create, so he knows it's not just an accident or some magical thing that there's no explanation for it whatsoever. There is an explanation for it, and Lord Brahma is the best person to ask because he has the knowledge. He does it. There's knowledge to all things. There's a science to all things, and that is provided by the knowledge giver and the originator of science, Krishna. So he promotes this. So here in the purport there's this explanation of someone who is, it's describing very nice various grades and stages of devotion, beginning as the question earlier was there, just who has a bunch of knowledge but not even a hint of devotion. There are a lot of people running around like that. They have knowledge of this thing or that thing. They have the foggiest idea where that knowledge came from, and therefore they don't have any understanding of devotion. To be appreciative of where that knowledge that they now have and are utilizing, usually these days to many, how it came about that they got that knowledge, where that knowledge comes from originally, or what's the cause, the prior cause. Or even better than that, the cause of all causes. When one has, so this Jnana Mishra Bhakta category is described as someone that not only has some empiric knowledge, some sort of variety, but they have a little bit of devotion. A little bit of appreciation where this knowledge has come from. And they're considered devotees. Service, a little bit of devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge. So that, with the description that's being presented here, is that permits them to understand in a partial way the absolute truth. Without being this tinge, we find this same description in Bhagavad Gita, that without a tinge of bhakti, you can't appropriately say yoga, even jnana. Yoga means with a tinge of bhakti. Karma yoga has its appropriate terminology if at least even only a tinge of devotion. Otherwise it's not proper use of the term to say here's a karma yogi and here's a jnana yogi. Then it's proper to say here's a jnani and here's a karmi. One who is a yogi, there has to be some devotion there. And so that, in other words, with their development of knowledge, the jnana yogi, the goal, they must see that the goal of their development of knowledge is to reach the position of the absolute truth, or they have to have some idea that the absolute truth is a person. So this is also then where this statement comes in the Brahma Jyoti. I'll read it. My dear Lord, This is now Dhruva Maharaj's statement again, the translation of the verse. My dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. So they have some amount of knowledge, but to some extent they don't have complete knowledge, the Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. They have some knowledge that Krishna is the goal, but they don't have complete. So, and it's also described, verse, that it's from that position that there is some transcendental bliss, not, you know, the euphoria of some material enjoyment, of forgetting their misery and blanking out for a while, but there is some transcendental bliss, Brahmananda, unchangeable. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, one who realizes this impersonal feature can enjoy the unchangeable Brahmananda, described here as spirit bliss. Later on, towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada said that actually transcendental bliss can't be fully realized unless one comes to the point of understanding Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So the Jnana Mishra Bhakta is a far cry from that unalloyed devotee who is entering into the pastimes of Krishna. So they do experience transcendental bliss. But so it's, again, it's this position of knowledge and ignorance mixed. One simple way to describe or define ignorance is devoid of knowledge of Krishna, just like we describe or give a definition of material. Material means forgetfulness of Krishna. The very same energy, like Murali Vadaka was using this term the other day when giving class about Krishnizing something. So the real interest of our Krishna consciousness movement is not simply to Krishnize everything, to make Krishna himself manifest in the lives of the conditioned soul. So they're no longer conditioned souls anymore. They're no longer just Krishnized conditioned souls or Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. They know something a little bit more than they have a little bhakti, and that's all. That's not the purpose of this Krishna business movement, to Krishnize the planet and the entities walking around it on the planet. The purpose is, as Prabhupada states in the list of purposes of ISKCON, to establish places of pilgrimage where the pastimes of Krishna are performed. That's these temples. To establish places of pilgrimage. So more than this mixture of knowing something but not a whole lot of something, the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to bring one to understand the pastimes of Krishna and enter into the pastimes of Krishna by devotion. So in that case, that knowledge is no longer properly described as jnana, but it's bhakti. It's loaded with, coated, surcharged with devotion. And that devotional understanding coming at the succession from the personality of Godhead. Very interesting series of steps that Prabhupada describes here in the purport. Following from the Jnana Mishra Bhakta with a bunch of empiric knowledge mixed in with a little love or a little devotion, the further position advancement is to recognize that the Absolute Truth has multi energies. Not just this Krishnizing idea that Murali was addressing, but with some focus of attention on who is God. What is the cause of everything? We are part of that everything. This body is, our thoughts are, all varieties of energy are part of the energies of God. And everything can mean in that way. We ourselves can see ourselves in that way. We can see other living beings in that way. It completely takes us off that form of sense gratification. By seeing everything as a product of Krishna, it relieves one of the burden of material desire. There's one person coming regularly to our center, preaching center in the village, and he just was expressing to me the other day some realization of by the benefit of chanting in the association of devotees, he no longer is nearly as burdened. Anyway, by seeing half of the population, human beings walking around the planet as objects of sense gratification, he had he was appreciating that he was so much covered by ignorance, but he had no idea that that's how he was operating. But half of the mass of humanity was simply, in his mind, a sense object. Without shading, here is spirit soul, an eternal servant of God, and therefore I say, according to your concept, you'll act. You can't help. Everyone is carrying some conception of life, and according to that conception of life, they perceive and act and interact. So by seeing the absolute truth is there, and there are multi energies of that absolute truth, and that's reality, it frees one from this position of sense gratification and karmic activity bound up, and all type speculations also, because the foundation of speculation is also sense gratification, even if it's purely subtle sense gratification. Anyway, as it Prabhupada making this list you're describing, beyond this position of seeing the Lord with his multi-energies is understanding his own internal potency in the spiritual world by which he is acting personally, not just manifesting energies all over the place and under his direction they're moving, but how he himself personally is acting by his own creative pleasure potency. And then one stage beyond that, the final stage that is being described, is entering into those pastimes, interacting with the Lord in loving emotional service. That's the fulfill where real transcendental bliss is experienced, not with a mixture of avidya, not with any illusion. So in these two ways, this unusual way of hearing the Brahman meditation being described, Prabhupada is presenting this in the purport. It's getting late. Are there any? Lost control of time completely. Any comments or questions? Yes? Say it again, please. I hope not. Panchatattva has been pretty good about taking care of that. Persons that are pretty much devoid of devotion don't belong within a temple. There are other places for such people. No, people that are here are devotees. Yes? It's the same energy of the Lord acting differently in Maya instead of Mahamaya. No, in that case, it's the Lord's creative energy. No longer the external energy acting. It's the Lord's internal pull for the purpose of his pastimes. It may appear to be the same, but it's not at all the same. The mechanism of it, say the least, is not the same. And the practical result of it is the same, and what initiates that energy as opposed to the other end working is not at all the same. Well, the Lord had any energies. No. She's out of the picture. Standing behind the Lord. Still at his disposal, if he cares, if Mahamaya has required, immediately she's there. But not in the Lord's pastimes. Yes? Paramatma and time. They're different of the Lord. Time is another feature. Paramatma is a particular expansion for a particular function. Paramatma has the function of accompanying every living entity in its sojourn, or his or her sojourn, through the material world in all the various species of life. That's the function of Paramatma. And time is another function and manifestation of the Lord that's completely different. To destroy all things that are materially created. Yeah? You can see the Supersoul everywhere because the Supersoul is everywhere in this material world. And the time factor is acting differently. It's a feat of the Lord that is required for the manifestation to come into being. It's an essential element when the living entities are impregnated into the material energy, Mahatattva. Along with the living entities, also the Lord enters as the time factor, because without this time factor, you can't get activity. So the time factor, the time has a whole function than the Supersoul. Although they're both manifestations directly of the Lord. Yes? I think a more correct way, just if I state what you said, when one has realization, the first stage of realization is the sat feature. And one who has that realization can have some understanding of the Brahman feature. There is, it's described, Brahmananda. To understand what Brahmananda is, Ananda means bliss. Brahmananda, the bliss of Brahman. So what is that bliss of Brahman? Prabhupada describes it. It's like banging your head against the wall and then stopping. That's what it's like. Whew. This material existence is over. Whew. Bliss. It's not the same. Because he also writes that in the purport later on. The real transcendental pleasure cannot, is not experienced until one participates in the pastimes of the Lord. Then that's bliss. Our full healthy state is not restored. If you have some disease, when the disease, you got, you know, some high fever, and finally the fever breaks, and you know you're on the road back to recovery. Whew. But you're still in a material body. Everything isn't complete yet, but it's. So it's spiritual. It's not just a relative thing. It's spiritual. But it's not complete. The realization is not yet complete. The first feature that you can particularly appreciate is that of eternality. There is some bliss in that. Eternality. Everyone wants to live forever. There's some transcendental spiritual happiness in knowing, in realizing, realizing that you're eternal. But it's incomplete. Yes? Should I assume that Janaka's usually... You checked. He's late. Okay. Ask the question again. Okay, right. Is going to be the what? Oh, I don't know what you mean by that. The standard of world consciousness. That's a big phrase. I mean, you just got through saying there's all grades of devotion. Therefore, they're all different grades, as you just said. So, you want to mean, what's the vast many going to be like? Is that what you mean? Or the standard is the standard of your devotion. That's what we're shooting for. That's the standard. Pure devotional service is definitely rare. That's right. No. It depends on two things. It depends on the qualification of the acharya and the qualification of the disciples. Just, you can answer your own question. Should the Prabhupada manifest? And what allowed that to happen? For so long it didn't happen, and then it happened. So Krishna's plan, the quality of ocean, and the sincere disciples. You can't leave out of the picture Krishna's plan. In other words, you can't say that Thakur Bhakti Vinod was not a pure devotee, etc. So this is the manifestation of the unfolding of Krishna's plan. So then further, Krishna may also have his plan, just as Prabhupada described to us. He had so many plans. He was just waiting for us to fulfill them. So one can then have the opportunity, based on the desire of the pure devotion, the acharya. But then it also requires the sincere disciple that, you know, who has in front of them the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to advance, the opportunity to come to, in response to your question, particularly to higher grades of devotion, but it's dependent upon their taking advantage of that or not. So it's not a foregone, predictable question. It's up to the sincerity of the disciples and the qualification of the acharya and the will of the Lord. But we know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted. That much we know. every town and village. And that's not going to happen. That will not happen by a bunch of impure, lazy fellows. It won't happen. Persons who can't tie their spiritual shoelaces, it won't happen. Yes? You're filled with questions this morning. You must have chanted some good rounds this morning. Do you doubt it? Do you doubt that? Okay. I've heard too many different things about what Prabhupada said when this would happen to even repeat it. Everyday sense of soon. Inevitable. And doesn't common sense touch? I mean, you go on Sankirtan, you see what armies are doing. Shasti? I heard the first. I'm losing you now. Prabhupada said, the answer to that is, Prabhupada said Christianity is already a dead religion. The body is there, but the soul is gone. Because their disciplic succession is broken. Just on the way out, it's dead. So, right. So they'll get another birth. So give them the opportunity to have contact. This is what our Sankirtan was meant for. Including the whole realm of Agyata Sukriti. Give them the opportunity to engage in devotional service, to hear the holy name, to taste Krishna Pranam, to associate with devotees, to hear sometimes, receive a book, to see the festival of Lord Jagannath, so things. More and more and more. The whole revitalization of religiosity. And I've heard it said so many times, and I accept the principle also, that the reason there is this revived concern has everything to do with Prabhupada's coming to the West. And presenting Krishna consciousness. So that which is actually dead appears to be flapping with a bit more life. Only because the life that's there, that Prabhupada. The life meaning the connection with the Guru Parampara, the connection with Krishna, therefore these other things appear to have life, to be becoming revitalized. And that just means that they can have their piety is increasing, their the increment of mode of goodness is increasing. up to the point where it will become easier for them to become devotees, to engage devotional service to Krishna. I mean, I'm not saying that in a sectarian way, because what does it matter? Their devotion to one aspect or feature of the personality of Godhead or another. But you have to have the genuine access, channel. Otherwise, it's sentimentality. So they may chant Allah more and more and more. But how is that becoming possible? By the force of some life behind it. And the life is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. Okay, it's after 9 o'clock. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.